This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Hiro Goto. And you are listening to the New Japan Broadcast.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. And at the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday afternoon, February 5th. And today we are going to be talking all about the new beginning from Sapporo, which happened earlier this morning in front of a crowd of 5,545, according to our friends over at puroresuspirit.net. And we're also going to be previewing the card for next week's big new beginning show in Osaka. But before we get into all that, Damon, I understand somebody is... got a big birthday coming up, hitting the big 4-5.
Oh, God, did you have to fucking say that? Yeah, everyone, it's the old birthday week, so we send your cards and well wishes and the
hate mail.
Gift card, hate mail, and the
Anthrax.
No, don't send that. Anthrax. What song did Anthrax sing?
Caught in a Mosh.
Caught them. Yeah,
that's probably the most notable.
I always get Anthrax and what's that other DRI? You know DRI?
DRI.
Yeah, they had the logo with the guy kind of running and you know, maybe I'm, people know who DRI is. I always get them confused. Didn't they do I'm the Man? Remember I'm the Man, that song?
I can't say like that
a,
I do.
It was like a thrashy rap metal song. Yeah. I'm the Man. I remember that from Anthrax. That's about it. Scott Ian, right?
Right. Scott Ian.
Hey,
guy with the beard.
Right. Somebody was making fun of me on Reddit when we were talking about what we were talking about. Rush and the guitar player.
Alex Lifeson.
Right. But I said Alex Kingston, or I forget what I said. Somebody was like, you couldn't have picked like the guy that was furthest from being that person. Anywho, yes, birthday celebration for me. Wish me a happy birthday, everyone, because I certainly deserve it. Can't believe I'm this old. It's a daunting feeling for sure. I'm going to die soon is basically what I'm trying to say.
Your body is preparing itself for the grave, as you said last year at this time.
It really is. It really feels like my body is just collecting all anything I consume. It stores, right? You know, shortness of breath going up flights of stairs. I almost had a fucking heart attack at Corkin because we had to meet somebody went there for the Dash show, and the line was massive. So we had about 90 beers, and now we're going to go up 6 flights of stairs, Colin. I'm holding on to our Australian kids. I'm just holding on to Claire, is her name, and I'm just out of breath. I can't even move. I thought my heart was going to cave in on itself. That's how old I am. It sucks. All right, what do we got going on here? Oh, you know what I wanted to do first before we get into the hot takes. Remember that show I was telling you about, Colin, that I went to last weekend?
Yeah, with the Young Lions.
Yes. It was a fun show. Listen, there were probably 50 people there, maybe 75.
No vacancy for that venue?
It was a tiny place. It felt like we were at like somebody's like bridal shower. Like it's a place where somebody would have like a bridal shower or like or you know, just like one of those type of halls, small, local, you know, tucked away VFW hall. Well, so I went. It was a good time. It was a good show. Everybody worked hard. It was fun. So saw some people that I know. But a weird thing occurred, and a sad thing occurred, Colin. And again, I don't want to open up on a sad note, like Casey Kasem. You know that bit with Casey Kasem where the dog dies? Yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring everybody down right out of the gate. But I feel like I have to acknowledge this because at this show, and really at every local Philadelphia show, there's a handful of guys that go to, it feels like, every single show. And, you know, every show I'm at, I definitely recognize this gentleman. His name was Kevin Hogan. And Kevin was at this show, and I didn't really know him, but I knew of him. And again, I would see him all the time, and we would kind of do like the head nod thing because, again, it's something that we're there, and you know. Well, Kevin, unfortunately, and it's just kind of it's overwhelmingly sad. He passed away in this just tragic car accident, and. I all this week I couldn't stop thinking about him and the fact that we were in this building together and 50 people, and it was really just to share our love of pro wrestling, because again, you got to really love the programs if you're going to go to a show where you know it was what it was. It was indie pro wrestling, and it was a fun show, but again, you really got to be a hardcore fan to go, and he certainly was, and he's a great pro wrestling fan. And I think about his passing and you know, I joke and goof and kid around, man, but my heart bleeds for his family and friends, and I just felt like we had to open up and acknowledge it and acknowledge Kevin and tip our hats and show some respect to the guy who, you know, just like us and just like everybody listening here today, loves the pro wrestling. So we lost a really great friend and a really good fan, and I don't even know if he listened to the show, but hopefully somebody that knows him listens and can pass those words along to his family that he'll be missed. And I know a lot of wrestlers, Kevin Owens I saw, tweeted something out. Chris Hero tweeted something out. So, again, he'll be missed. Sorry to start off on such a sad note, but I felt like I had to acknowledge his passing, and he will be missed.
Absolutely. I mean, Damon, this was a guy who you just saw last weekend.
Yeah, I know, man. It's that's the thing that freaks me out, man. It's just 50 people in this building, you know, and I'll never forget. We were sitting right across the ring from him, and I just remember him sitting in the front row and having a good time and enjoying the show. And to me, that's why we do what we do, you know, for those moments of smiling, and he was at every show, and he was a huge fan, and it really disturbed me, and it really saddened me, and it's just a sad thing to talk about and a sad thing to have happen, but again, if anybody listening to this knows the family, friends, let them know that we're thinking of them. In what has to be just an absolutely horrific time. Sometimes life, man, just ugh. But all right. So that's that. All right. Very good.
So this is going to be kind of a weird transition now.
Yeah,
but
there's no way to transition out of this, Colin.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, this is the Casey Kasem bit, but
there's no proper way to do it. But
no. But we're going to now flip into talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling, who had a wonderful show. Just last night. So let's get into that.
I thought that this was a great show, actually. And even though when you looked at both New Beginning cards on paper, the Osaka show certainly looks sexier. But I thought that this was a great show. And I think that we saw a match of the year candidate in the main event.
I agree. Colin, I really, really, really enjoyed that main event. And look, I know it's February 5 here, but, you know, early returns, early returns, February 5th for Wrestler of the Year. I think Okada is going to be in that discussion, right?
Kazuchika Okada, I was just thinking about this last night. I was thinking to myself, as I do, when I'm walking around my apartment by myself, who do I think are the top three pro wrestlers in the world right now? And man, Okada just might be number one.
He, again, he didn't get the flash and the headlines that in that Kenny Omega match, but you know, it takes two to tango, and
That's
I don't
right.
think that match would have been on the level with just about anybody else in the ring. You know, he's to me, he's top flight. You know, he's top three wrestlers in the world. And I know that there's going. This is why I have to stay off Twitter, because you get those people who are just obsessed with knocking him down a peg with the selling, and it's just nonsense. Well, go ahead. You want to get into this now?
You and I are going to have a differing opinion of the outcome of this match. I will say that.
All right.
I don't know if you want to get into that right away.
You want to get into it now? Why not? Because honestly, that's a bone I got to pick with you.
Here's
that's
the thing.
A bone I got to pick.
This match had tremendous storytelling. It was physical. I mean, these guys just slapped the shit out of each other. And Okada sold that knee, and he sold that knee, and he sold that knee. And after about an hour of selling that knee in this knee bar that Suzuki had him in, it got to a point where it was like, all right, this guy, realistically, he wouldn't even be able to stand, let alone deliver three Rainmakers and win the match.
But it's...
I know, it's pro wrestling, but, I mean, on the English commentary feed, for example, it was mentioned that Suzuki beat Ken Shamrock in a Pancrase match in 2 minutes with that knee bar. So, you're telling me that Okada is going to last a half hour in it?
First of all, that's an half an hour. I don't know. But the entire match was worked around that leg. Absolutely correct. And it's not like he just got up and he Will Ospreyed it and just decided to do fucking 900 flips. And,
no, he didn't no sell it. He did a great job at selling it. But it just got to a point after a while where it was almost kind of, I hate to
do you
use
think
this
it
term,
was too
but
much,
eye rolling.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it was too much legwork?
I think there might have been too much legwork, yes.
Seriously, do you think it was just like a constant legwork, and it got, I don't want to say it got boring for you, but
no, it didn't get boring. It got to a point where, like I said earlier, there is no way he would have been able to stand after that. I mean, if you watch a legit mixed martial arts fight, and I'm no MMA aficionado by any means. I'm a very casual MMA fan, but when somebody gets you in a knee bar like that in the middle of the ring, you're tapping. That's it.
But this is pro wrestling, Colin.
I know.
Colin,
and
people jump off top ropes, right?
I know.
I mean, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit to get some enjoyment out of it, don't you?
And I have historically been good at doing that for ridiculous things like spinning spike tombstone pile drivers and 500 super kicks, but for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's because MMA and Brazilian jiu-jitsu and whatnot has been kind of woven into pro wrestling matches now more than ever, and I understand what these holds really do.
Yeah, but you see, Colin, you could watch any match at any time, and you know it's not like MMA just came here last week.
I know.
But like, there's millions of pro wrestling matches have taken place since the apparent boom of UFC, right? Or MMA.
I know, but what I'm saying is, you have to admit that the MMA influence in pro wrestling has become more prevalent in recent years.
Okay, now name me a match where somebody's worked over a body part. And they never. I mean, yes, people can give me example of a guy in Alabama who had his arm worked over and didn't move his arm for the rest of the match. Okay, great. That's okay. This MMA influence has been here for years. It's been here for eons.
It has.
And you're still enjoying pro wrestling. And again, not for nothing, you're a guy who it gets more enjoyment out of, you know, 9,000 super kicks and, you know, kicking out of every fucking finisher for 20 minutes. And, you know, like, I mean, and that's not, I'm not knocking you because that's what you enjoy, you know, but for you to now come back to here and say, oh, you worked on his leg for for 20 minutes. He shouldn't be able to walk. Colin, there's fucking football players who play with broken legs for an entire game. There's hockey players that take a puck to the fucking face, get stitched, and they're back the next period. Like in sports, adrenaline, emotion, the moment, all play factors in people, I don't want to say having Superman powers, but, you know, having the ability to fight off the pain and perform at a high level.
I want to see one of these football players be put in a knee bar for 20 minutes. Let's see if they can finish the game then.
Okay, but you're talking like you want realism in pro wrestling. I mean, this is, again, pro wrestling, Colin.
And truth be told, part of my reaction to this finish could be because I didn't get the outcome that I wanted. Like, when Okada hit that first Rainmaker and he held on.
Like, why didn't you want... I mean, listen,
and he hits a German suplex and another Rainmaker. At that point, I was like, oh, all right.
I'm a huge Suzuki guy. I'm fucking... I think I'm bigger Minoru Suzuki fan than you.
Absolutely.
I had no problem with the fucking finish. I had no zero. Why? I don't understand why you have a problem with the finish.
I think it has to do with he worked on his knee for too long of a period. I know that sounds stupid to say.
So, I mean, maybe he just couldn't put him away. That's okay. It's pro wrestling. Come, I'll go through. There's hundreds of matches that are worst case scenarios than the one that we saw here, of a guy getting worked over, and then making a Superman comeback and hitting his move. And here's the thing: he hit his move that is so fucking protected. It's unbelievable. I actually love the fact that he hit the Rainmaker and that was it. That was it. You get hit with that move, you're fucking done. I love the fact
Well,
that
he hit three Rainmakers and
yeah,
three
but they were,
very light Rainmakers at that. I mean, when
yeah,
you're
right.
in
it. Listen, there were a couple of them that weren't full force Rainmakers, which kind of leads to what you wanted, right? How could a guy who's been worked over for 20 minutes, you know, get on his feet and land those Rainmakers?
I'm not a big fan of the Superman finishes. I think that's what it is.
But this wasn't like it came out of nowhere and he fought valiantly. There were plenty of spots where he, you know, took Suzuki's best shot and then got up and said, fuck you, and got in his face. And then, again, that whole punch and slap and chop exchange, you know, kind of like three quarters of the way into that match was based around that. It was based around the fact that you threw everything you fucking could at me, and you still can't put my, you know, have me tap, because that's what it felt like they were, you know, if I'm Suzuki, I wanted him to tap, you know, that was the whole purpose.
And there were moments where I thought he really was going to tap. It had great drama.
Was up, yeah, when Geta was up, ready to throw in the fucking towel. But again, to me, the story of the match was the fact that Suzuki did all this and gave him his best and worked him over and worked him over and worked him over, and he still couldn't put him away, because at the end of the day, Okada had a little bit left in the tank that he was able to hit that fucking last Rainmaker. That's a great story to me.
That is a great story, but for whatever reason, in the moment as it was happening, I was kind of rolling my eyes a little bit.
Wow. See,
honestly, I'll probably be over this by the end of this podcast.
But I mean that's I just find that, again, just from your past history and just from what I know that you like and what you enjoy, I'm surprised that was a sticking point for you.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
It was a big sticking point.
It was a big sticking point. You're right.
Because in one breath you're saying this people are going to be talking about this, you know, at the end of the year, and I think rightfully so.
They will. I will.
But then you give me this.
I didn't dislike the match.
Right.
I loved the match. I thought it had every possible element that makes a great pro wrestling match.
Except the finish.
except the finish.
Okay, well, that's a big chunk. Again, is it more to do with the fact, Colin, that you didn't like the fact that Okada went over in this situation? Like, I don't understand why that's a sticking point, to be honest with you. There's 2 points. One, that I don't understand. To me, I think the booking is fine. It could have gone either way. I thought Suzuki was going to win. It was going to be a quick cup of coffee with the belt.
That's what I thought too. And I was thinking about that last night, and then it occurred to me, well, you don't want to do a hot shot win.
I mean, Suzuki's 49 years old.
Right.
Him winning a belt is that you're not building the company around Suzuki.
Certainly not.
Right. You're not. I mean, he's in. And here's the thing, too. I mean, I really feel like he's in a bit of an unplanned return, right? With this whole Noah situation that went down earlier, where, you know, New Japan, I don't want to say was blindsided, but it kind of feels like they were blindsided. And now they got all this talent back. And okay, what are we going to do? And how are we going to bring these guys back? I mean, they brought them back the same way they went into Noah, right? The same way they went into Noah, they went into New Japan, or back to New Japan. And they all lost, right? But this, you know, whereas before, you know, with Noah, it felt like, you know, it was 2 years of them just you know, making Noah guys look like fucking jabrons, right?
You know, part of this could also be that young Western fan mentality of wanting the top guy to lose.
What is with that? Like, there are lots of people that just want to see the top guys lose. They always want to see guys elevated, guys elevated, guys elevated. And to me, again, Suzuki's 49 years old.
I think I just wanted to see Suzuki have a nice little run with the belt.
Okay, a couple months, right? Because honestly,
yeah, a couple months.
We go into like Dominion and Invasion Attack and all that and G1. You don't want him with the belt, right?
No.
Like you don't want him walking out in fucking Los Angeles with the belt, right?
No, you want, well, you know who we want in Los Angeles with the belt.
I know who you want in Los Angeles with the belt. Yeah. But let me ask you this. Again, it was going to be a quick hit with him with Suzuki winning the belt, right? And I'm okay with him losing. I'm okay with making Okada stronger. Are you okay with Okada going into Los Angeles with the belt?
I think it would make more sense to have Omega go into Los Angeles with the belt. If this
wasn't
is...
the question, are you okay with it?
No, I'm not. I'm not okay with it.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. Again, he's a top three wrestler in the world.
He is. He no doubt about it, and he is the face of the company, but this is the year where they're kind of dipping their toes in the water and getting ready for this big North American expansion in 2018, regardless of what you think of it. The right guy to come in to your first show, your first solo show in North America, in L.A., is Kenny Omega.
Again, we're not going to the Staples Center, right?
I know,
We're not going to Madison Square Garden. We're going to the Long Beach Convention Center. That holds 3,000 people.
Hey, the Beatles and the Stones played the Long Beach Convention Center. No, I just made that up.
I was like, it's been around that long. Huh? the tickets that, like, what is Kenny Omega super hot? Absolutely, but I think at this point, it's New Japan Pro Wrestling that's drawing that crowd, right? So those 2,000 seats are New Japan Pro Wrestling fans, right? As opposed to, you know, we're going to a very large building and we need a guy that can move tickets.
Certainly couldn't hurt to have the hottest guy arguably in the business as your champion going into those shows, could it?
No. I mean, listen, I have no problem with either one of those two, to be truthful. I have zero issue with Okada. I have zero issue with Omega. Do we want to have Omega with the belt going into these shows? It makes sense. I'm totally cool with it. But again, I have no problem having one of the best wrestlers alive today holding your main championship. that again, it's we're not asking Bone Soldier to fucking carry this load here, right? It's fucking, you know, Okada or Omega. Okay, I'm good. I don't think Suzuki would have been it. So again, here with Suzuki losing, I'm okay. I was okay with your scenario too, Colin, of him winning. I don't really think that his title win or loss is impactful to the overall direction of New Japan in 2017. It would be a cup of coffee. It would be something interesting. It would be a spark. It would be something new that would quite honestly quickly be rectified with either Omega or Okada winning the belt.
Could you imagine an Omega Suzuki match?
I salivate at the thought of that. Right? I mean,
well, at the thought of a lot of things.
Yes. Sloppy Joe's I have cooking. Can't wait. Yeah. But no, I mean, and again, getting back to the selling part, Colin,
I know what you're saying. It's not like he just, you know, was able to run normally and do everything that he could. I mean, for example, I loved when Okada jumped off the top rope, you know, and he usually does his roll through thing.
Yeah.
You know, he landed on that knee and.
Yeah. And then, you know, the one spot where, Suzuki tried to whip him into the ropes again, he leg buckled
when he did the kip up.
Yeah, I mean, look,
he did a phenomenal job at selling this knee, but for whatever reason, night,
20 minutes of working over the leg equated, you're not moving, or 20 minutes working on that leg and you really haven't tapped out yet. Right.
Maybe it a lot of it might have to do with Suzuki's, you know, fighting background.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a combination of all those things that I've been talking about in my mind.
Right. Do you think it's more of it hurt Suzuki because it made him look weak that 20 minutes he's fucking working over this leg and he couldn't put him away?
No, I don't think it hurt Suzuki. It just looked ridiculous to me. It looked ridiculous to me. That's just my opinion.
I know, and it is yours. I do not share that, but I don't know what I can't. I don't know. I'm sure we will get the tweets, and I'm sure we'll get the Facebook posts.
Well, look, I think that most people are going to be on your side in this situation. I do.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're sticking your neck out a little bit.
I think,
right?
I'm in the minority. Yeah, I am.
All right.
This is just how I feel.
It's fair. It's how you feel. But to me, it seems like I would never expect to have this conversation with you on this. You know what I mean? Just because of what I know that you like. I mean, fuck, Colin, you'll sit there with your pants down and watch fucking Pro Wrestling Gorilla all night long.
How would you know that my pants are down? Do you have
I can smell it
from
here. I may. I mean, listen, but I know what you like. I don't know. Just, I can't say that I share that same opinion with the legs and again, maybe
I need to put you in a knee bar. And see if you can hobble around.
Did they have bourbon at the knee bar?
I get it.
Yeah, and like I said, if you said to me, it just made Suzuki look really weak that he couldn't put him away, I guess my retort would be, well, that's fucking Okada. He's your champion. He's got the will to live. But I could kind of see that. I
almost think it would have made for a more heart-wrenching, interesting story if Okada tapped out and he had to be carried out of there because he couldn't put any pressure on that knee.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay.
People would have been crying in the audience.
What did you say the number was for the crowd?
The number, I have it right here, was 5,545. I thought it looked packed.
That's a good crowd for that building, right?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And I know somebody will, but wasn't that the same joint? It was Okada and Marufuji. G1.
Did that take place in Sapporo?
I thought it was like G1 in July, right?
Yeah, in July, G1 26.
Against Marufuji. And that show also had...
Tanahashi and Sanada.
Yeah, Sanada. Right. That drew 5,500, I want to say.
Okay.
And what did this draw?
This drew, once again, 5,545.
Okay. So, 5,500.
Yep.
All right. That's good. That's a big building, right? That's a nice size crowd.
That is a big building, and like I said, it did look packed to me.
Yeah. They were quiet, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were quiet, you times. Know. Especially for the junior tag match. I feel like they had a hard time getting into that. Well, who didn't have a hard time getting into that? But we will get into that as we go through the card here.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with that. I was a little disappointed with the crowd. Again, crowds are crowds. But it did seem like, man, some of these guys were – like the one time when I really felt like I was like – I actually muttered – under my breath, man, like, come on, fucking crowd, give these guys something, was the Goto Juice Robinson match.
Which I like, thought I was like, a great fucking match, by the way.
I really enjoyed that match. And I Juice was killing himself. And it just felt like, come on, crowd, give him something. Fuck. It felt like it was like trying to turn water to wine.
You think part of that was maybe because they didn't believe in Juice Robinson in that big of a position?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I think that had a lot to do with it. I don't think there was anybody that thought Juice was walking away with a title, which...
That's saying a lot in a Goto match, by the way, when you think... When Goto is the favorite to win.
Yeah, but Goto I mean, Goto was your fucking Intercontinental Champion.
He was.
You know what I mean? And it's not like... I don't want to mislead people and have them think that Goto is not a top flight guy. He wins belts and he wins championships. The problem is when they're the heavyweight championship matches, that's when he shits the bed. Right? That's when he's Chief J.
Who did he defeat for the IC title, Damon? Say it.
When they ring the bell?
Yep.
Shinsuke.
Ding.
Nakamura. There we are. There's our quota for the day. At Dontaku. Yeah.
I'll try and work in an AJ reference.
I'm sure we'll get it in somewhere. It's not like, again, it's not like he loses at every opportunity. The problem is that he's 0-for when it comes to IWGP Heavyweight Championship matches. But yeah, I think the crowd, again, I'm not one to shit on crowds, but I think the crowd was really a tough nut to crack. They were sitting on their hands a lot, the one match where it really stuck out for me was that Goto Juice match.
Well, I think the Osaka crowd is going to be a bit hotter than this Sapporo crowd was.
Oh, sorry, man. That's sold out. That's sold out well in advance, so good for them.
And good for Naito.
And good for Naito, and good for Elgin, and good for New Japan. These are two decent-sized buildings. You know, 5,500 people in today's pro wrestling, that's a nice show. That's a nice show. I'm going to make an outrageous statement.
I already made an outrageous statement, so you go ahead.
All right, here's where people might want to lay the boots to old Damon, but those 5,500-seat buildings, you know, those crowds, I'd like to see, like, a comparison at the end of the year. They're going to be some of the highest drawing shows minus those, you know, WWE shows and the bigger – you know, those takeover, those NXT takeover shows, they usually run those in bigger buildings. But these are going to be in the mix for big shows, big gates of the year. And again, in today's in today's pro wrestling world, it's not often you're going to crawl across a 5,500 gate, which is good. Good for them.
All right, so what do you say we get into this card here and kick it off with the opening match, which was Kushida and Kawato taking on Kanemaru and Desperado. Nothing great here, although I did love that one spot where Kushida does the O'Connor roll into the German suplex. I thought that was great. Nothing you're going to go back and watch again. Desperado picking up the win for his team with the powerbomb on Coato. What were your thoughts on Coato in this match?
Listen, the good news is, and again, this match and the next match. You want some good news, kids? You want something you can sink your teeth into and look forward to?
I think we could use some good news.
All right, well, here's some. This group of young lions is turning into a real fucking nice little crop. It's taking a little bit, right? And I remember when we talked about how the, you know, your Jay Whites and your David Finleys and Tanaka and all, you know, that whole last crew was really a fucking stellar crew, outstanding crew of young lions. And I said, you know, one of the biggest gaps on these shows are going to be that element where you had those young lions who were really fucking good. You're no longer around. And when you're going to be replaced by newer, younger lions. I don't know, Colin. Maybe this was the turning point for me for a lot of these guys. I don't think there's a bad one in the bunch.
No, they're all good.
I mean, considering where they are, you know, we have guys in their third pro wrestling match, fourth pro wrestling match, you know, handful of guys, you know, that, you know, have double digits at this point.
Coato is only 19 years old, by the way.
Right, 19 years old. You know, I think it was it Observer? Was it Meltzer who made a comment that I absolutely agreed with? And I'll share with you here.
What, his abs are better than Coato's?
Right. Well, I'm sure they are because he works out during commercials.
Yep, during commercial breaks for Raw.
I swear to God, I could listen to that all day long. But he mentioned that, you know, he's looking at a guy whose second pro wrestling match last weekend. He's comparing it to guys who've been in like the NXT feeder system for months.
I think I heard that same edition of Wrestling Observer Radio. I think he was talking about Tomoyuki Oka.
Yeah. Yeah. And a guy. And again, he's in there with his trainer, you know, the head, you know, with Nagata and the guy that he's really learning a lot from. And he did wet nurse him through the match. That's obvious. But in his second pro wrestling match, you know, Dave's making comments along the lines that, you know, he looked better than guys who've been in the developmental system for WWE. You know, been sitting in there for months. I tend to agree. And again, these young lions, man, talent. Whatever they're doing in that dojo, they're doing it right. They're absolutely doing it right. And again, this is in most of these guys. This is the beginning of their careers, and they look sharp, and they got fire, and they're improving each time you see. That's the big thing. It's not like they're coming out there and they're you know they're fucking Misawa. You know, they're coming out there but every time you see them. Man, the improvements are noticeable. Here's the one thing that is really it. They must be able to be molded, and they must be able to take instruction, and then they must be able to apply what they're being taught in the ring. And that maybe isn't always the easiest thing to do. But these, man, when they pluck these kids out of wherever they're plucking them out of, they're talented, man. They're
fucking
talented.
They're chosen at birth like Jedi. Like they're identified, like.
I think maybe you're right. I mean, 19 years old, we got a kid out there, and he looks fine. He looks great, and he can fit in. Good stuff, man. Kushida is the one that troubles me a little bit.
Why Kushida?
Right now? Well, just because he seems
his
like
position being on the card.
Yeah, he just seems to be in a bit of a holding pattern, you know. And I know that they're trying to build other guys around, but yeah, he seems like he's in a little bit of a limbo spot right now.
He did have a stare down with Desperado at the end of the match. What are your thoughts on El Desperado being woven into this junior heavyweight division? Are you a fan of his?
I'm okay with El Desperado. Like of all the Suzuki Goon members, he's middle of the road for me. I don't loathe him. It's you know, it's not like I'm.
I know Izuka is your favorite.
But here's the thing with Izuka, he's. He's just a lot of a lot of movement, like a lot of things going on. Like you're not going to be. Here's the one thing, like in his matches, you're not necessarily bored to tears, right? He's terrible, but what he does in the brawling and everything, there's a lot going on. So it's not like you're going to sit there and be bored, but it's just maybe not the most entertaining pro wrestling, right? If you've seen it 1,000 times, you're like, all right, you're running through the crowd again. Okay, great. Oh, you got your fucking silly claw thing. You're going to rip off his shirt. Okay. But again, there's a lot going on. He's kind of like the guy at work, you know, he shows he's busy by moving a lot of things around on his desk. You know, he's picking up papers, he's putting it down. He's stapling stuff. He's nothing, you know, he's not really doing a lot of work, but there's a lot going on, right?
I don't know if you ever saw the Seinfeld where George Costanza revealed the secret to looking busy at work. You always look like you're frustrated. You just like you sit at your desk and you just like kind of like, and you put you put your hand on your forehead, and that's the key to people thinking you're busy. Look frustrated.
All right, little work tip for everyone from Colin Milk. But that's him. So I don't. He's not on the bottom of my list. Shockingly enough, he's not on the bottom of my list.
I think the next time you and I go to a show together, we should do the Kanemaru Iizuka gimmick. Like, I'll have you on a collar.
A leash?
Yeah.
I'll just run around.
Yeah, you'll be going through the crowd like a, you know.
I'll be, honestly, just put me at the bar. I'll be fine. I won't move from there. That's for fucking sure. No, I mean, it totally, you know, not offensive. I'm okay with I'm okay with Despy.
You're down with the Desperado.
I mean, listen, he's not one of my favorites, but you know, I can stomach El Desperado. I'm okay with El Desperado.
Before we move on to the second match here, so Damon, you watched the Japanese commentary feed for the show, correct?
Correct. Yes, I did.
Alrighty, I watched the English commentary feed, which was, of course,
you put peanut butter in my chocolate.
The debut of Mr. Don Callis taking the place of Steve Corino. And for those of you who don't know Don Callis, he was Cyrus the Virus. He did commentary for ECW back in the day. Or some of you may know him as I know him from the Jackal. He was the Jackal in WWF, part of the Truth Commission. He managed Kurgan.
Wow, you're really digging into that history there. I couldn't name one person that he managed in WWF. What'd you think? I mean,
I'll be honest with you.
Give us the hot take on the English side.
I was worried when it first started. I thought, oh boy, this might take a few shows for these guys to really get into the groove. And
yeah, what was the issue? What was the challenge?
I think part of the challenge was my lack of patience. Okay. I'm already judging the commentary team, and like we're not even through the first match.
All right, okay.
But I'll tell you what. These two guys, as the show went on, they really meshed together quite well. I do miss I've always been a fan of Steve Corino's kind of goofy sense of humor, you know, a lot of the tongue-in-cheek things that he would say during the show. And of course he also had a tremendous knowledge, Steve Corino, of Japanese culture and Japanese pro wrestling. I mean, he practically lived there for a long time. But I'll tell you what, this Don Callis really did his homework, and it really, at least I got the sense that he knew who these guys were.
Okay.
And he brought a lot of insight to the table.
The feedback that I got, let me give you some of the feedback I got,
please,
because I didn't listen to it, so this is not me, you know, either positive or negative. I didn't hear it. I didn't listen to the English side.
You're such a traditionalist.
Look, I don't like do what I do. I heard just the opposite. Not that he didn't know what was going on or what was happening. Just it was more very generic comments, very generic.
Okay, I can understand that.
Right. So really not going into any deep detail. Not a lot of. Again, we're not necessarily looking for hard hitting commentary here, but a very, you know, very, you know, he was doing the old JR. He's a very athletic guy, you know.
I thought he was better than JR.
Because
JR, to me, like when he did that commentary for Wrestle Kingdom 9, it felt like he didn't know who he was commentating about.
Okay.
And I didn't get that vibe from Don Callis. I thought that he really...
How about the generic comments? So his color commentary, the feedback I got was a bit, again, generic. Generic statements.
Yeah.
Safe, generic statements.
That's going to improve, though. The more shows they do, I mean, they're going to do a show together on Tuesday. Right. They'll be in Osaka on Saturday. So right. I have faith in this commentary team. I really do.
Chemistry there?
I think so.
Okay.
Again, it's just a matter of them finding their groove, doing a bunch of more shows together, and
some of the feedback I got was that there was a lot more empty space, a lot more letting the matches breathe,
and that's not a bad thing to me either. I did notice that, and okay. I kind of enjoyed it.
Okay, if I heard that, I don't know if I would. Sometimes again, one of my biggest critiques was you're there to do play-by-play and color commentary. I don't want to hear silence. I mean, and again, I don't want to just hear yammering, but there's got to be a nice mix. Again, I hadn't heard it, so again, this is the feedback I got. Last piece of feedback I got. He was doing a heel color commentary shtick.
It wasn't full-blown heel, but it was heel-esque.
Ugh.
If you know what I mean,
yeah, 2017, huh?
Yeah, a bit of a tweener commentator going on.
Okay. Overall, give me a grade.
What are we doing? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, are we doing letter grades?
Are
we doing snowflakes?
No, I said a letter grade.
A letter grade. I'll give them a C plus.
A C plus. All right.
Yes.
So a average. Job by the English did we get a shout out?
No, we did not get a shout out this time.
F. They get a fucking F.
F minus.
F minus. When do you get a shout out? What? Come on.
Yeah, no shout out for the Purocast these last couple times. I'm not sure what's going on, but
I guess. Actually,
must have been something you did.
I can't imagine. I had a text conversation with the guy over the weekend.
With Mr. Kelly?
With Mr. Kelly himself. Direct line. He was at the airport when I texted him. And because of the whole Ring of Honor thing.
Yeah, he's no longer a full-time commentator.
Yeah, and basically, honestly, truth, and I'm not holding back anybody. The conversation really wasn't. You know, everything that's already out is everything that he said to me. So it wasn't
right.
Like I got this great scoop. And it really wasn't even about scoop. It was I just kind of wanted to say, hey, you know, we know each other. Do you want to, you know, what's the scoop story? Why are you leaving? And really, it's everything that's already out. So there's no, like, it's because of fucking delirium. You know, it wasn't like that. You know? But, yeah, he was getting ready to go on the plane. And honestly, he wasn't. The vibe that I got was that he really wasn't comfortable with it being out. Like he was kind of like, yeah, kind of broke, and I really don't want to, you know, talk about that. you know, it was like he was more like, fuck it, this got out. So no, I don't think he hates me. He probably hates you.
How could that be possible? No, nobody hates me. I'm the most.
Really?
how could anyone hate me?
I don't know.
I think I might get some hate after today's episode.
Yeah, you're gonna get the fucking Okada lovers ready to pounce on. You get ready for that. I'm staying away from the internet this week.
Anywho, yeah.
That's what I say. I'm
stealing a McDonald-ism.
Yes.
Yeah, so in conclusion, I'm going to give them, for this show, a C-plus for their commentary. But look, I have no doubt that these two guys, give them some time. They're going to get better. Give Don Callis some time to, I don't know how comfortable he is with Japanese wrestling or how much he knew about the product going in. But not a bad job for a first time out. So, you know, give them some time. Let's see what happens. And I think the Osaka show will be even better.
All right. Well, I'll listen when they mention us again.
So never.
Well, I know, really. She feels like it now. All right. Very good.
All right.
We're pining away. We're trying to... We're trying to get our name out. All right.
Second match here. Six-man tag. Tenzan, Kojima, and Nagata taking on Yoshitatsu Henare and Tomoyuki Oka, or as I like to refer to him as, Benjamin Button.
Why would you say that?
This guy, I swear, he's got the Benjamin Button disorder, where he looks, you know, like an old man when he's young. But
you were saying that it took you 10 minutes to figure out it wasn't fucking Nakajima
or Nakanishi. I thought it was Nakanishi. He did this beautiful overhead belly to belly. I think it was on Nagata. And I'm like, wow, Nakanishi, he's really moving around pretty spry here. He's pretty light on his feet. And it occurred to me after the match was over, wait a second, this was Oka. This was a young lion. This guy, he has such an old man face.
Yeah, but again, what is he? This is number three, right?
Yeah. I think that the kid's, you know, he's maybe a few years younger than I am. Maybe he's 25. I want to say.
Yeah, his piece probably had, you know what, he probably had a couple matches on the tour that wasn't televised. So, yeah, I mean, look, wasn't David Finlay supposed to be in this match?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I think he replaced him. So
actually, I think Kawato might have gotten the Finlay position.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. One of the two. But look, I thought it was a definite unfair advantage to the Tenkoji Yuji Nagata side. That's for fucking sure. Yoshitatsu is Yoshitatsu. And again, the kids, the Hanares and the Okas, to me, they were the stars of the show with Nagata. And again, Oka kind of, you know, staying together. And I don't want to say wet nurse again, but, you know, Nagata does a great job of helping these young lions through these type of matches. I thought the match was fine. Again, when the lineups were official and this match took place, I don't think there was anybody who thought that it was going to go the other way. Again, just because of the shift of power and balance of power in this match. But no, fine match. I'm okay with everything that occurred here.
Yep, Nagata picking up the win for his team with the crossface on Oka. I like the fact that Nagata is using the crossface. It's a good finisher for him. And not to harp on this young lion thing for too much longer, but you know what? I was thinking about it. One of the things I think that makes this crop of young lions so interesting, besides their work, is that each of them, I feel, has
an identity. Yeah.
Yeah. They have an identity. They have a unique look. I mean, Hanare has a unique look. Oka, Kawato, they look different. You can actually tell these young lions apart.
No, I think it's very true. I think that's very true. And you may not have had too much of that in the last. I mean, listen, I'm sure you can tell the difference between fucking Jay White and David Finlay.
Right.
But I see where your point is. Now, in previous Young Lion classes, you probably had stuff a little bit more in this mold than maybe even the last mold. But even with that said, I do agree with that. There is even with the black tights and the black boots, there's still little distinguishing things about them that make each one of them a little bit special. I definitely agree.
This has turned into the New Japan Young Lion podcast.
Good. I listen, there's an idea. There's 750,000 podcasts. Let's have one about just really focus in on the young lions of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Analyze all these matches.
Yes.
These
don't have to. Right.
All right. Next match here. Katsuyori Shibata, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tiger Mask taking on Will Ospreay, Jado, and Ghetto. Fuck you.
Well, look, we I think we said this on our preview, right? That the interesting take in this match is the Ospreay Shibata stuff.
Yeah,
that's what we're all looking forward to. And you know, there are some guys that when they have a program with another guy, it's just, I don't know, the chemistry is just not there, right? Like they just don't seem to mesh well. We've said this about other people before, where it's like, man, on paper this seems like a good match, but man, they just can't fucking seem, they no chemistry. There's no meshing. Not with Shibata and Ospreay. I feel like these guys are a perfect match, a match made in heaven.
I agree. This is like one of those dream matches that you would see on a Rev Pro card. I can't wait for this match.
I mean, this is going to be like a Rev Pro card because it's for the Rev Pro British Heavyweight title, isn't it?
And speaking of which, and not to be nitpicky here, but Will Ospreay, correct me if I'm wrong, is the
doesn't sell legs.
he doesn't sell legs, and he's the British cruiserweight champion. Right?
I guess. Okay, yes.
And Katsuyori Shibata is the British heavyweight champion. So what gives Will Ospreay the right, you know, holding this cruiserweight title, the challenge for the heavyweight title? Like,
well, I mean, you know, in the history of New Japan, they've had juniors wrestle for the heavyweight title. I mean, one of the more famous one is Shinya Hashimoto and Jushin Liger.
Well, let's get rid of these two separate tag divisions then. How about that?
I'm all in favor of that. You know how I feel about the weight classes in 2017. Silliness. I mean, and again, you want to get back to that MMA-inspired stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, we know that a light heavyweight guy, like, you know, you don't need to be a monster, right? Monsters get knocked the fuck out just as bad as a smaller guy. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm all about having tag. Although, here's the thing, though. There is something, and maybe it just might be my nostalgia kicking in. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, it's my favorite title of all time.
I think a lot of that has to do with Uncle Jushin.
It does, but even before that, you know, Tiger Mask, Dynamite Kid, you know, Benoit and
who?
we can mention him on this podcast.
Wild Pegasus.
Well, and he lost a mask match to Liger. You know, El Samurai. So maybe you're right, but it is one of my favorite titles, and I would not want to see that absorbed. The tag titles, I don't give a fuck about.
So anyway, this match, Will Ospreay getting the big win over a New Japan Junior Heavyweight legend, hitting the Os Cutter on Tiger Mask, and then hitting the Os Cutter on Shibata after the match was over. So electricity, a lot of electricity going into their match in Osaka next week. Can't wait for it.
Pro Wrestling 101, right? Yep. We're going to make Shibata look strong. Make sure in everyone's eyes that he's competitive. Again,
Ospreay.
Yes. We want to make sure that he looks strong going into this match. So yeah, I'm excited for this. I think that's barring injury, is there any possible way this match is bad? It's impossible. Right?
Come on.
I'm just being seriously.
Shibata versus Will Ospreay.
Like, unless, like, it comes out that, like, Shibata has been fucking Will Ospreay's girl, right? And they hate each other in the back. And
Speaking of which, I have to bring this up.
What?
When, I don't know if you noticed this. This is just one of those stupid things that I notice. I notice so many, like, minute things in the audience that I want to bring up each week, but we don't have the time to. But right. When Shibata's...
I have no idea where this is going, but okay.
When Shibata's music hit...
Yeah.
The
girl screaming.
Yeah. They cut to a shot of the crowd, and there's this girl, you know, a cute looking girl in the audience, and she's just going wild. And I got to thinking, is that another one of Shibata? You know where I'm going.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. But I did hear her. yeah, she was a fan. All right. My lord.
Hey.
Sound like she was getting murdered.
Tell you what, this Shibata guy, I could pick up some pointers from him. Except for the whole adultery bit.
You want a fun fact?
Sure.
You want a fun fact? There's, I believe, and again, this is the missus who just is looking at it from a pure, it's a handsome gentleman. Mm-hmm. I think Shibata's her favorite.
That wouldn't surprise me. I always thought that Shibata had that he had a certain look about him, you know? He's got a handsome face.
Yeah, you like those lanky guys. You're a lanky guy.
I like the lanky guys.
Yeah. I mean, listen, let's go down the list. Go down the fucking list. Matt Sydal, lanky.
Right. Matt's well,
Kenny Omega, lanky.
I wouldn't call Kenny Omega lanky.
He's not
Elgin.
Yeah, he's not Elgin, right? I'm going lanky.
Wow, maybe I discovered something Ospreay? About myself.
Ospreay,
yeah, Ospreay, lanky, yeah.
Nakamura,
lanky. Yep, lanky. You're right. Tall and lanky, huh?
You like them tall and lanky? That's what you like.
How about that?
Yeah, you're like salt and pepper.
All right.
No, not you. The tall, lanky one. shoot, better. Sorry. All right.
Who performed at WrestleMania 11, by the way.
They said that is correct.
All right.
And they'll perform at Wrestle Kingdom 12, from what I understand.
I hope so. All right.
Salt and pepper.
Moving on, next match. I know you're dying to talk about this one. Yoshihashi versus Iizuka.
Okay. I am dying to talk about this because I'll tell you what.
Not as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Correct, because why? They did the whole fucking smoke and mirror brawl around.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, too, that we failed to recognize. Yoshihashi could have, when we did this preview, did we pick Yoshihashi to get the win?
No, we said he was going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
We said he was going to get mauled.
What the fuck were we thinking? Because this is a perfect time for Yoshihashi to get a win over a meaningless Suzuki-gun guy. Like, what are we thinking? Fucking Iizuka's going to win the fucking Intercontinental belt?
Well, no, here's the thing. I think that last week we called a Suzuki-gun sweep on
we
this
did.
Card.
Yeah, we were really wrong.
We sure were.
We really shit the bed. Yeah, but what were we thinking? Like, this is, again, Yoshihashi. Here's the problem that we have. We still think Yoshihashi is 2015 Yoshihashi.
Right.
2014 Yoshihashi. And we can't get it through our thick fucking skulls that he's not the same guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that beat Kenny Omega during the G1 climax.
Yeah. How about that?
And a great match.
It really was. He's not the same guy, and I don't think we have done a good job of recognizing that, and I don't think many people have done a good job of recognizing that. This was tailor-made for a Yoshihashi win, and we missed the – we whiffed on that one. We struck out on that one. Again, Iizuka matches are lots of interference, lots of brawling, lots of shenanigans, lots of chairs and – weaponry and
shirts being ripped off commentators,
iron claws and tag ropes and all that stuff. It is what it is. And that's not even saying that it's horrific or it's horrible. Again, if we're going down the Suzuki-gun roster, he's probably in the middle of the road. I don't hate him. I don't love him. But again, I think we missed the ball, Colin. If we missed the ball anywhere, it was on this match. Where Yoshihashi picks up the win and a deserving win, a right win, and I like the way that they're thinking, New Japan. Good job by then. Terrible job by us.
Absolutely.
And it's a singles match. It was a singles match. You don't get many singles matches.
With Yoshihashi?
What's that?
With Yoshihashi?
Well, not even just in general.
Just in general, yeah. It's usually a tag schmoz.
Oh my God. I gotta be honest with you. If I have one gripe when it comes to New Japan, my Lord, with the fucking multi-man tags. God almighty.
Well, hey, look, Tanahashi's got to rest somewhere.
I know. That's why I really feel like, Wrestle Kingdom shows, you don't get a lot of those. It's singles matches. That's why Wrestle Kingdom's great. G1 too. All right. But even in the first half of G1 shows, you got everybody who's not wrestling in the tournament is in a multi-man tag. I don't know.
And weird. I don't watch that part of the show.
Yeah, you do. You skip through them. I try to get them. Last year, I was probably 75% I saw. There were nights where I just couldn't.
Damon, life is very short.
I know.
I don't have time to watch Yujiro and Hangman Page. And Fale take on whoever. You know what I mean?
Trust me, I fucking hear you. All right, what we got next here?
Speaking of Tanahashi, moving on to the match right before intermission, we have the team of Michael Elgin, Tanahashi, Nakanishi, Taguchi, and Dragon Lee taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón. I think we both agreed before we went on air. We really enjoyed this match.
I love this match. I thought this match was really fun. We bitch and moan about the multi-man tags. Los Ingobernables has it down pat. We've seen 20,000 matches, multi-man tags, with it seems like these guys, against a side with Michael Elgin and Tanahashi, and it seems like we've seen this a million times. But the good news is that they do have it down, and they have it down pat. I love this match.
How excited are you for Dragon Lee versus Takahashi next week?
Dude, when they were in the ring together, you pay attention. You know what I mean? Like, in this match, when they were in the ring, you paid attention. And here's the thing, too. With Elgin and Naito, you paid attention. You sat up. And even, you know, when it was Sanada and
Taguchi.
Well, not Taguchi, but listen, Taguchi doing his comedy thing with Evil. How can you not love that? Good stuff. Tanahashi and Sonata. I don't know why I couldn't think of fucking Hiroshi Tanahashi. So, you know, everybody had their partners. Everybody had the people that they were teaming with later in the week. Look at the lineup in that match, though. Tanahashi, Dragon Lee, Michael
Elgin, Nakanishi.
Naito,
Taguchi.
Sonata. I mean, the Taka. There's a lot of fucking talent in that ring.
Did you have a monster morning today, by the way?
Nah, I had a very actually, it wasn't that bad. I thought I was going to die waking up. I was not hungover. Shockingly, was not hungover.
I was a little bit worried about you because I sent you a text last night and I got no response. And, you know, usually when I get no response from people, I immediately envision them like dead in a gutter somewhere. Because that's how I am.
No, I mean, here's the thing with the texting. So, and I get this a lot. Like, I don't always have my phone out. I'm not that guy. Like, when I go to these places or restaurant, I'm the guy that puts the fucking phone away. I'll take a picture. But I don't have my phone out. It annoys me. I want to spend time with the people that I'm with. And that drives me crazy little bit.
I guess I have to take down all my Craigslist postings looking for a new co-host now, because obviously you're here and you're healthy.
I'm
and
here.
Thank God.
Oh, I'm alive. How dare you?
Anyway,
oh my goodness. I'm not a big phone when I'm out. I'm not a big phone on the mat.
Getting back to this match, though.
Yes.
You know, Damon, when you were growing up, when you were being brought up, and you were watching. Guys like, let's say Tiger Mask versus Dynamite Kid and Benoit versus Jushin Liger. Mm-hmm. At that time, as you're watching those junior heavyweight matches, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, I mean, God, what else can be done?
Yeah.
These guys are doing everything. And then today, in 2017, we have Dragon Lee and Hiromu Takahashi. It's kind of mind-blowing to think about when you watch these two in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of pro wrestling. I mean, you know, I'm sure there were people, you know, watched wrestling in the 60s and the 70s, you know, that their heads exploded when they saw, some of the stuff that Dusty and Flair were doing.
Yeah.
Or some of the stuff that, you know, Brody and Hansen in Japan were doing and Ricky Choshu was doing. And, you mentioned Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid. And, you know, Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid, that's the early 80s.
That was innovative stuff for that time.
I mean, that was, what, 40 years ago? Right? Early 80s?
Early 80s, 40 years ago.
Isn't it?
Let's see, right? 80s, 90s, 90s, 2000s.
Do the math.
Still 30 years ago.
Okay, 30 years. It feels like it's long.
Almost 40.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was born in 72.
Right.
Yeah, 40s. Fine. Yeah, you're probably 30s. All right.
I think my math is on, even though that's not my strong suit.
Obviously, my math skills are terrible. But you get my point. 30 years ago. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And even, you know, the stuff that we see now, it's pretty crazy. All right. I like this match a lot. I think honestly, starting from this match on, you're going to get some decent stuff.
Yep. Dragon Lin. Excuse me. Dragon Lin?
Dragon Lin.
I'm not sure who Dragon Lin is, but.
Jerry Lin? Dragon Lee?
Dragon Lee picking up the win over Bushi. And I wanted to mention something to you. A few weeks ago, when we were talking about this Osaka card next week, we were saying to ourselves, boy, you know, they're giving this junior heavyweight title match. It's the semi-main event of the evening. When was the last time a junior heavyweight title match has been that high on the card? And some of our listeners corrected us, as they like to do on the social media, And apparently,
we have good fans. We have good listeners.
We do.
No, they're there.
We have the best. We have the best. And
I don't know about the best.
Apparently,
I didn't get any birthday gifts yet, did I?
Not yet. Right. Kushida and Bushi main evented one of the destruction shows. Now, my first thought was, well, the fact that we couldn't remember that, what does that say about what kind of match that was?
Yeah, but you know what, though? I can't blame that because I can't even remember what I had for breakfast today. So, you know what it is? It's hard. Here's where we're going to, you know, play our little violin that nobody's going to give a fuck about, but we're going to say it anyway. It's hard coming up with shit off the top of your head doing a show. You know what I mean? Like, remembering, it's a little bit hard. I don't have a notebook. I don't have, I'm winging it here, kids. I'm winging it. No. Yeah, we did. Listen, we're not good with remembering that shit. That's why we lean on you guys. We're leaning on you guys to correct us, and then we'll mention it. But we just, who was it? Do you know the person who it was?
I think it was a bunch of people, actually.
Really?
But
really?
We
got the boots? Okay.
I guess my point is that this Dragon Lee versus Takahashi match is going to be a little more memorable than that Kushida Bushi match. I just have a feeling.
I'm going to agree.
I have a hunch.
I'm going to agree with that statement. Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
All right, moving up the card here for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship. We've got Roppongi Vice defending against Taichi and Taka Michinoku. Okay, I have two things to say right off the bat.
All right, let's do
Number one, Damon. When I hear that organ intro for Taichi, it just harkens back to dark times in the Purocast where we had to review that god awful Super J Cup show. Oh, I break out in a cold sweat when that organ music hits and I see him coming out with his stupid mic stand and my god.
He is the bottom of my list.
And how is he a junior heavyweight, by the way? The guy looks like he's about 225.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably, you know, he's like type. I don't know. I think that rule goes out the window. I think once you're a junior, you're always going to be a junior until you officially say you're not.
It doesn't matter how much you weigh, really.
No, makes no difference. I mean, fucking Trent Beretta is considered a junior. Trent fucking Beretta.
Yeah.
I am not a fan. I am not a fan of the gimmick.
No,
I'm not a fan of him in the ring. I'm not a fan of his look. I'm not a fan of, he just does nothing for me. And to me, the feedback that I get is like when he is on the screen, my phone blows up at certain things happen. Like when a wrestler passes away, I'll get 75 texts.
When Okada wins.
What? No, I don't really get that. But when he hits the screen, I don't care if it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't care if it's 2 in the afternoon. When people watch him, they react violently. Right?
They do.
They really do.
We're not the only ones.
I have the text messages to prove it. From many different people, many different walks of life. They don't like this guy at all.
He's not a likable guy.
He really isn't. And he's, like I said, if I had to rank Suzuki-Gun members, he's absolutely comfortably sits at the bottom of the list. Not a fan. Now, what's your second point?
My second point was actually about Taka Michinoku. And I'll tell you what, this guy, you know, is 43 years old now. He's in pretty damn good shape, and he's still busting out acai moonsaults.
That's because he works out in between commercials at Raw. Dave Meltzer works out.
It must be. It must be because Taka Michinoku, I'll tell you what, for as long as he has been around, guy is still in great shape, and he's not half bad in the ring.
He's a guy that's always around. 40 something years old.
Yep.
He's always around, and I don't mean that in a bad way. You know what I mean? Like, he's found a way to extend his career longer than, let's be honest here, just about anybody really thought he would, right? Like, if I were going to put a gun to your head and I would say, okay, and it's 1990, whatever, we'll say 97. Name me a wrestler who will still currently be wrestling in 2017, I don't think many people would put Taku Michinoku on that list.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right. And that's saying something for his longevity, his creativity, whatever it is. Whatever it is that keeps him in the mix, he's found a way to do it. So good for him.
Pop quiz, right. Damon, before we move on. What WrestleMania was Taka Michinoku on?
Oh, I fucking know. 12.
No.
What?
14.
All right, listen, at least I was in a ballpark, right?
Yeah.
What was he in, a multi-man tag?
No, probably junior match, right? Yeah, he was defending the light heavyweight title.
It's like Brian Christopher?
No, it was Agula.
Ah, that's not a bad match, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
If I'm thinking the same one. What did you think of this match?
I didn't like it.
No?
Did not like it, no.
Why?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But again, this is where you get into that area of Suzuki-Gun that people hate, with the run-ins and the interference and the smoke and mirrors and the bullshit. And I don't know. This match just didn't do anything for me.
I didn't hate it, right? But there was plenty that I didn't like, right?
I didn't hate it either, but I didn't like it.
I thought I enjoyed Roppongi. I thought Roppongi really went out of their way to make this match enjoyable. You're right. There was a ton of smoke and mirrors. There was a ton of bullshit. There was a ton of outside interference. There was a ton of shenanigans that we do not like. I get that. Even with that said, Colin, I did not hate this match. I didn't hate it. I will say that for exactly the same reasons, and I tried, and I will say this. I did my fucking damnedest to keep an open mind. Because you're right. On paper, it's easily dismissible with that tag team, that Suzuki-Gun tag team. It wasn't – the actual wrestling match was – I enjoyed. The smoke and mirrors was okay. And trust me, I'll get sick of it in 2 months. In 2 months, I'll be screaming at the top of my lungs to fucking get these guys off my screen.
Well, hey, we've got a Roppongi Vice versus Kanemaru and Desperado match to look forward to. So, you know,
that's not bad, though. I'll take that.
I'll certainly take that over Tai Chi and Taka.
I just there's something really that makes people violently angry when they see that guy lip syncing and taking 15 minutes. He just intense hatred for that character. And again, it's not the human being, right? I don't want to get all fucking up. We're not talking about the human being.
Yeah, we have to put a disclaimer out there.
Yeah, I know. We're not talking about the human being. I'm sure he's a pleasant gentleman.
You'd have a beer with him, I'm sure.
I would have wine and whatnot. I sure would. I can't stand the character. Can't fucking stand it. All right. And many people don't either. All right. So I didn't mind it as much. What are you giving this match, Colin? Are we throwing flakes here?
I'd rather not. Look, if I'm gonna throw snowflakes at this match,
throw it.
2.5.
Okay. I would go
3.
Why'd I go 3?
Well, it sounds like you enjoyed it more than I enjoyed it. So
I probably won't go 3. I'm not gonna go 3.
2.5, 2.75.
Yeah, it's been that ballpark. Six and a half stars. 6.25. Trademarked by Kyle in Austria. I'd be hard pressed to go 3. That might be a stretch.
So Beretta picking up the win for Roppongi Vice with the strong 0 on Taka Michinoku. And as I said earlier, now we move on to Kanemaru and Desperado.
I'll take it.
Junior tag titles. Yeah.
I'll take that. Why not? Let's see what they can do.
Why not? And now we move into what I like to refer to as the meat and potatoes of the show. You know, Damon, I was cooking a hearty stew over the weekend. You know?
Really?
I got some beef cubes, got some baby carrots, some red skin potatoes, and this is the part of the show that really it just you know. And entered that meaty pro wrestling.
A rib sticker.
Yeah, exactly. Was this next match ever a rib sticker to me? For the never open weight title, you have the champion Goto defending against our boy Juice Robinson.
I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I thought that this match with Juice was told exactly what needed to be told. What this match did in people's eyes now is Juice is a serious or and can be a serious pro wrestler. Like, this was a hard-hitting, tight, meaty clothesline type of match.
Yep, chops.
A match that you got little tastes of Juice when sometimes he would step in the ring with, like, a Nakanishi, or he would step into the ring with a Nagata. You would get little slivers of this, little tastes of this. Not a lot. And it was some of it was mixed in with some comedy, so it was kind of hard to kind of weed through and find it. So I think going into this match with a Goto, you thought, okay, I don't think we're going to see goofy, fun, jovial, moonchild Juice Robinson. You were looking for serious, potential G1 entrant type of Juice Robinson.
You're looking for Wrathchild Juice Robinson. Little Iron Maiden reference there for you.
All right. I didn't get it.
Paul Di'Anio on vocals. Anyway.
I don't know what that means.
Juice Robinson, I'll tell you
Juice
what.
Juice Robinson.
Coming out of the gate on fire, right?
Yep. Again, this match was here, and this match was a vehicle to reestablish Juice Robinson in a role that he was never in before, and that is Serious Juice. Well, Serious Juice was on stage, and he shined in this match. This guy busted his ass in this match. This match, Goto, I wouldn't necessarily say busted his ass, but he was well enough off to complement what Juice was trying to accomplish in this match.
Perfect
that makes
opponent
sense?
For Juice, really. With this being Juice's, you know, first major title match,
yep.
I can't think of a more perfect opponent than Goto.
Yeah, I mean it is a real nice way to kind of set the stage for Juice. Now again, doesn't mean Juice turns into fucking Akira Maeda. but what it does, it gives him a serious character development, right? It gives him a serious take on his character to get people to kind of get in that frame of mind when they think of Juice. Because before this match, I don't think anybody really thought of him in that light.
No, you thought of him as goofy, fun, you know, saying motherfucker, doing the shuck and jive punches.
Yeah, but this match, he definitely took that seriousness level to another level. Again, it reminds me a lot of Kenny Omega in the sense of, you know, taking that next level, that next step into being serious Kenny Omega. Right. And I think that's the Kenny Omega the majority of the people can really sink their teeth into. And again, where Kenny Omega would turn people off is a lot of the goofiness. Right. And a lot of people love the goofiness. This helped Juice tenfold.
Can I tell you what my hope is now going forward for Juice Robinson and Goto, really?
What's that?
I would like to see this feud continue in possibly a trilogy of matches culminating with Juice Robinson getting that big win, taking the NEVER title, and bringing the NEVER title back to what its original purpose was, and that was for young up-and-comers.
Okay. I'm okay with that, but I just don't know how we get there.
I don't know either.
You just had Juice take a fall. How's he going to get that match again?
I don't know. Maybe he pins Goto in a tag match.
He already did that.
Again.
All right. Well, listen, however we get there, here's what I'm excited for. Juice Robinson. Well, let's go this way. There's a couple people that I think of off the top of my head that might be perfect for that NJPW California.
Colin Miller.
No, that wasn't one of them.
Oh.
All right, but listen, we'll put your name in a hat.
Okay.
We'll put your name in the kitty. Juice Robinson is a guy that sticks out like a sore thumb that would be perfect.
Sure.
Right? To me, when we talk about how this California territory for New Japan is going to be run and the bodies that might be flown to that area, Juice Robinson is probably one of those guys that's going to be top of the list, don't you think?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to make it sound like he's super famous in the States, but there is a familiarity there, you know, with the North American audience. I mean,
honestly, do you think an average pro wrestling fan would know who Juice Robinson is?
No, they wouldn't know Juice Robinson, but just to give you an example, I was watching a couple weeks ago one of the Fantastica Mania shows with my brother, and he's pretty much strictly a WWE fan. We were watching it, and he's like, Juice Robinson. And I'm like, yeah, you remember CJ Parker from NXT? And he was like, oh, yeah, of course. You had the match with Kevin Owens, yada, yada, yada. So,
okay. I mean, you still think that CJ Parker has relevance?
No.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I mean, I'm asking the question. Do you think, like casual WWE fans and casual NXT fans would remember that character?
I guess my point is, once they figure it out, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember him. And then they're like, huh, wow, he's pretty good now. What happened?
Right. Well, and trust me, I'm sure that was his mindset, you know, hitting the reset button on his career. You know,
took a lot of balls, I'll tell you that much.
We've said it 1,000 times. It's super balls. Super ballsy. All right. Love the match. Snowflakes?
I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with 4. I'm okay with 4. That's a great job by Juice. That's a great job by Juice. Yep.
And as I said, I would love to see a Goto rematch.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Again, I think the biggest challenge in the match was I don't think there was a body in that building and a body watching that thought that he was going to win.
Well, maybe now after this match, after they saw how good it was, you know, maybe the next Juice Goto match or Juice whoever match, you know, they'll give Juice a bit more of a, you know,
fighting
benefit
chance
of the doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. All right. I liked it. Good stuff.
All right, next match, the semi-main event for the IWGP Tag Team titles. We had our three-way here with Ishii and Yano defending against GBH and KES. I actually like this match a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. I don't like Lance Archer's whole spitting the water into the crowd gimmick. That's just, you know, I mean, especially during flu season. I mean, come on, just have some common courtesy.
Who are the twins? The indie pro, the Brahan brothers. I don't know if you've seen them. The short, they kind of look like old men, right? And they have the little like handlebar-y mustachey thing.
Okay.
And they do a lot with the water. Yeah, the spitting of the water and the pouring of the water and. They're on like Big Japan shows and All Japan shows and, you know, all kinds of indie shows.
Grindy indie shows.
Yeah. That's nothing for this match. I didn't like this match at all, Colin.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was messy. I thought it was messy. And
that's how I felt about the junior match.
Yeah. This was, I don't know, man. I didn't feel this at all. I think. Look, maybe we were right last week in that, you know, what this does is it gives Ishii a break. Yeah, but boy, does he look just, God, how can you?
Out of his element?
The thing about it is he sticks out like a sore thumb to me.
He does.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I know it's February 5th. Relax. We got a whole year to go, but man, it's just such a waste.
Would you feel like differently, though? Let me ask you this. If the tag team champs were Ishii and Goto, would you look at this in a different light?
I would think it would be even more of a waste, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Okay.
This match did nothing for me, man. I'm sorry. I thought this was just a big, messy thing. I was kind of surprised. If we're talking about finishes, I was a little surprised at this finish. I mean, we're doing the same exact match in, what, 6 days?
Yep, that's right.
It makes no sense. Why? Why would we even have the first one? Like, okay, so Yano and Ishii successfully defend the belts. So in essence, they defeated KES and Makabe and Honma, right? That's what we got from this match, right?
Yeah.
So why the fuck are we having another match?
I think that they...
What is
they,
the logic in this?
They should have split these title defenses up. Like, why not on this night have them defend the titles against GBH and then in the Osaka show against KES?
I don't understand it. Like, I know I'm being ridiculous pro wrestling fan now, but where is the logic in this? I don't understand it. They successfully defended their titles against these two same teams. Why are we doing this again? Would be my question. Why are we having this match again? We've successfully defended the titles. Now,
well,
again,
maybe because there was a screwy finish.
But there's always a screwy finish. that's fucking Yano.
That's his calling card.
That's yeah. Somebody described him. Somebody on the classic board said, "Could somebody help me with Yano and what exactly his gimmick is?" And somebody put Rodeo Clown, and I was like, "That's exactly right."
I was gonna say Doink the Clown.
Okay, Rodeo Clown. I was like, "That's pretty accurate." Pretty fucking accurate. But yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I mean, we shit the bed here. We said KES was going to win the belt because why would we have this match again? But
we were going for that Suzuki Goon sweep, I think.
Yeah. What are your feelings on this? They didn't, excuse me, they had one match that they walked away with as winners, right? One match.
What did they win? I can't even remember.
El Desperado and...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jeez, we just got done going through the whole card, and I'm...
Yeah, opening match, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Desperado, he beat Kawato.
Well, the tag match.
Yeah, exactly. With Kushida and Kawato versus Kanemaru and Desperado. Yeah, that was the only Suzuki Goon win. Here's my thing. Other than Minoru Suzuki, I don't care about Suzuki Goon.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. KES, I do enjoy.
Yeah, I thought so. There you go. You're not a big Gazooka guy?
I can't say that I am.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I just have to throw this out there. Mackie was messaging me. And last week we were talking about that show that Izuka was on.
Yeah.
And you couldn't remember who he was facing. And Mackie told me that every time you do this, you know, where you can't remember, he's like shouting at the speakers, you know, what it is.
He's there because 9 times out of 10, he's at the same fucking shows. He's sitting right next to me.
Right. Yeah. And he actually, Izuka actually wrestled Owen Hart at that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Mackie has this, like, you know how we just talked about, we can't remember something that happened last week. Like, he has this ability to remember. Like he's the guy that probably was screaming, the WrestleMania match with Taka Michino. He's screaming at his speakers. Yeah, he has this ability to fucking remember these details. Whereas it goes in one ear and out the other for me. So yeah, it was Owen Hart and the rope broke apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of remember that as well. But yeah, he was right there. You know Owen Hart, that craziness. Joe Goodhart had crazy shows, man. Like I said, he would bring in talent from all over and just guys that you would never see and, you know, guys that you would read about in the Observer. He would be bringing them in.
They just announced this was the last show.
I kid you not, Carl. He had his radio show, right? And it was at the end. And you hear, like, you know how, like, we have our music. It would be the equivalent of hearing our music and Colin being like, okay, and by the way, that's our last show. See you, everybody. And we're out.
Purecast is done.
Yeah, yeah. That would be the equivalent. That's exactly what it was. They had a show that day, that night. And he's like, oh, by the way, that show was canceled. Please don't show up. And this is our last show here on WIP. Bye. I'm like, what? So, yeah.
Wrestling business is quite wacky, isn't it?
It really is. Well, the problem was, one of the problems was that he had this thing where you had season tickets. So you would pay in advance, like $500. And again, I'm throwing out a number, but you would pay in advance because he would run shows like once every month or once every 2 months, and you would get the same seat every show, whatever. Well, you know, people bought this fucking season ticket, and, you know, last show, and then he was gone. Like, literally, no one knew where he was. Nobody could find him. Nobody. Yeah, that was a big problem back then. Yeah.
All right, so Yano picking up the win for his team. Him and Ishii retaining after Yano, ball shot, schoolboy on Makabe, and there they go.
There they go.
So we have
We'll see it again in 6 days.
Yep, can't wait. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. And finally, our main event for the IWGP Heavyweight title, Okada defending against Suzuki. What else could we say about this match that we didn't at the top of the hour?
We did beat the shit out of it at the top of the hour, but I enjoyed this match thoroughly. I will say this. I did not get that in your gut feeling when we're talking about classic pro wrestling matches.
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking that as I was watching it.
That you weren't getting that feeling?
Yeah, what was going through my mind was, wow, this is a really great match, but I don't have that feeling like I'm watching and get ready to ring that bell again. Nakamura versus Ibushi.
Bing, 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 bing. It goes back to you feel fives, right? So I don't think this was in that ballpark.
No.
I would go high fours.
Yep, four and a half, four and three quarters.
Yep, I would go in that route. Let's do a little comparison. Let's do a little comparison shopping, shall we, Colin?
Okay.
Was this match better than Okada Marufuji?
No. No. Are we talking Okada G1? I love Okada Marufuji G1. To me, this match wasn't better than Okada Marufuji.
Okay. Was this match better than Okada Tanahashi G1 semifinal?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. And again, this is temperature-wise. Was this match better than Okada Tanahashi Wrestle Kingdom? Not the one that just passed, the one before.
Wrestle Kingdom 9?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Was this match better than Elgin Omega ladder match?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Was this match better than Dragon Lee, Kama Itachi, Fantastica Mania?
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you one more. Was this match better than AJ Cena from the Rumble?
You're throwing out a WWE match?
Yes. Just to fucking do it.
Huh. Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. I'm going to say
wow, I did not expect that from Miller. Woo! All right. Good for you.
And by the way, all the matches that you mentioned, just for the record, are like vastly different matches. You know, they all have their own unique flavor.
Yes. I think that's what I really enjoyed about this match, too. Because it was a absolutely different take on a pro wrestling match than, say, Omega and Okada, right? It was definitely a different take on, and that's what's really kind of fucking amazing to me with Okada, is that it was a different take.
He can adapt to anything.
He really is. I don't get people who like thumbs down him. I don't understand it.
And I didn't want to make it seem like I was one of those people.
You're one of them.
At the beginning of the show. No, I'm not. Like I said, Okada to me is one of the top three pro wrestlers in the world. Right. I would say him, Omega, and AJ, to me, that's just to me, are three best wrestlers in the world right now.
Right. Matt Sydal's not there?
No, I'm not sure where Matt Sydal is.
We need to lie. I'm a little worried. Okay, I mean, fair enough. Good. I wanted to get your take on that. All right, so I'm in agreement with a lot of what your rankings as well. So I think this match was fantastic. I did not get the 5-star feel. So no, we're not going 5. I would say high fours.
Yep.
I think we'll be talking about this at the end of the year. I think it's going to be one of the 20. I wouldn't be surprised, depending upon how this year goes. But we're off to a fast start, a great start this year so far. And this is one of my favorite matches. Very good match.
And I think that is worth mentioning that after the match, when Okada got on the mic, he hinted that he would like a match with that Tiger Mask W fella.
How about that? How about that? I did not expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be very fucking interesting.
And I'm not sure who he is.
Right? Oh, silly goose. You know who that is.
No, I have no idea.
David Finley.
Wait. Oh, yeah. You're right. No. That's where he went.
Right.
Okay.
No, of course, it's Kota Ibushi. And how excited are you for that?
Hey, if Kota Ibushi is in the New Japan Cup, I think there's two words that you would use to describe that. I think you know what they are, Damon.
Tiger Mask W is in the New Japan Cup, please. Tiger Mask W. Not Kota Ibushi.
Not Kota Ibushi? No, are you being serious right now? Do you want...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be... Well, I mean, listen, he challenged Tiger Mask W.
Right, but I thought that was kind of a, you know, wink, wink, ha-ha. Yeah.
I don't know.
You took that literally?
What other way was I taking it?
As a tongue-in-cheek, jokey, ha-ha. Because we all know who it is. Damon, you can't have Tiger Mask. No.
That's Khan. I hate to disappoint you, but I think that's what that match is doing.
You're not going
to
have Kota Ibushi go out in that stupid Tiger Mask that he can barely work in, and he's going to be in the New Japan Cup. Like, unless okay, you can make that work. Here's how you can make that work: if he advances to the finals and then like he takes the mask off,
kind of like Misawa.
Yeah, like if there's a big reveal then at the end, then I guess, okay, it could work then. But no, I didn't take that literally. So that's interesting that you did.
Yeah, I absolutely took it literally. Yeah.
If I told you to go jump off a bridge.
What's that?
nothing.
No, I'm serious. This is, I mean, maybe I'm grossly mistaken, but it's Tiger Mask W.
Okay. All right. That should be interesting.
I feel you're the balloon deflating.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
it's still Kota Ibushi, Colin.
He has a hard time working in that mask.
We'll get him a new mask.
They didn't.
Can we get him a new mask? we'll get him a new mask.
They're not going to.
Well, you don't know that.
That thing's that mask is massive.
It is like wearing a fucking bowling ball.
It's like a football helmet, for crying out loud.
It is pretty awkward. I will give you that.
I just don't want to see Kota Ibushi wrestle in this gigantic tiger mask in the New Japan Cup. I'm sorry.
I think that's what we're getting. That was my understanding.
Okay.
Oh, Colin, I ruined your weekend.
A little bit. Not that it was that great to begin with, but still.
Right, we just went downhill. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, we'll see. How about that? I'll give you the old we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But I believe it's Tiger Mask W. Yeah.
All right. So as we move away from this Sapporo show, I think it's worth mentioning that there is a Road 2 show this Tuesday on NJPWWorld.com, February 7th, that will have English commentary. Just want to throw that out there if... our listeners are interested in watching that one.
Do me a favor, people. Tweet Kevin Kelly and tell him to, you know, do the right thing here.
Yeah. Give it. Come
let's
on.
Let's get our people on it. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding, of course. I mean, listen, anytime he mentioned this, it was out of the kindness of his heart.
It was.
So, but it would be nice. Jesus Christ. The numbers go through the roof when he mentions this. All right.
Just want to mention the main event for that Korakuen show. It's LIJ versus Dragon Lee, Taguchi, Nakanishi, Tanahashi, and Elgin in a special elimination match, which are always fun.
Yeah, I like the elimination style, right? Harkens back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Find out who the sole survivor is.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be good. I don't think we have to preview that show. Let's preview New Beginning show.
The Big Osaka show at the Edion Arena.
Yeah, that's again another nice building. Yep. So hopefully, and it's sold out.
That's right. Saturday, February 11th.
Yep. Should be nice. So we're official previews, right, Colin? That's what we're doing here.
That is right. The official Osaka New Beginning preview and maybe some predictions. How about it?
Yep. Sounds good. We can't do any worse than we did this last show.
I don't know, but I think we could.
We really? No. I think we were wrong on every fucking match, Colin.
All right. So opening match: Kawato and Yoshitatsu. Taking on Oka and Hanare.
Look, you know, it's a, I mean, who cares who wins? Be quite truthful, but
pedigree on Hanare. Yoshitatsu, the Young Lion Barrier.
People love that gimmick, by the way.
I know.
A lot of positive feedback by that. I don't care who wins, but I will say that I am looking forward to Young Lions. Every time they hop out there, we see improvement. So here's another step in that direction. How excited I am? A four.
All righty. Next match, six-man tag. Kushida, Kojima, and Tenzan taking on El Desperado, Kanemaru, and Iizuka. I say that either Kanemaru or Desperado pins Kojima or no.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Do I want to go in that direction? No.
I don't think you do.
I don't think I want to go in that direction. I'm saying Kushida takes the fall.
Hmm. I'm going the other way.
Okay.
I'm saying Kushida gets the fall. Gets the win.
Okay.
For his team. I'm going to go that route. I'll go that way.
Well, I'm just saying Desperado and Kanemaru, you know, they are
Well, what's Desperado, Kanemaru, and who?
And Iizuka.
Oh. Yeah, okay. That's yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look good.
No.
Iizuka could take the fall.
He could.
To Tenkozy. I'll go that route. Nah. Yeah, I'm really on the fence. All right, I'll go fucking Suzuki-gun getting the win over Kushida, huh?
Yeah, over Kushida. Hot take.
I'm going to get Iizuka getting his win back. I'm going to say Iizuka gets a pinfall on
Tenzan.
Yeah, I'll go that route.
All right.
I'll go that route. How excited am I? Zero.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat there. Eight-man tag next. Tiger Mask, Liger, Juice Robinson and Yuji Nagata taking on Jado Ghetto, Yoshihashi, and Hiroki Goto. Hey, look.
Here's your chance, right?
Exactly. Here's your chance to get Juice, get that rematch.
What do you think? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's what I'm thinking. Big Show, yeah. Osaka, you know, Juice is a bit disappointed in himself after being on that big stage and dropping the ball, you know, close but no cigar.
Right. You think he gets the big win here, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Be interesting, right?
It would be interesting, and I'm looking forward to that rematch.
Hmm.
Next to the main event, I mean, the Juice versus Goto is my second favorite match of the night from Sapporo.
Who else is on that team? Liger?
We got Liger, Tiger Mask, Juice, and Nagata. I love when I announce these teams, and it never fails. You're like, wait a second, who's on that team? Is it Nakanishi? Well,
yeah. Listen, I'm gonna go with you. Fine. I would like that. Let's go that route. And if that happens, that raises my interest level. I'm at a five for the match. That sounds like a good scenario, though, Colin. I'm on board. I can't even say I can't say that's going to happen. Let's go for it. Do it. Book it.
Book him, Tano. six-man tag coming up next. Oh, Roppongi Vice and Okada taking on...
Roppongi Vice and Okada.
Yep, that's right. Okay. Chaos taking on Takemichi Noku, Taichi, and Minoru Suzuki.
I want to see a fucking rainmaker on Taichi. That's please. All I want to say. I want to see that. I just want to see him eat a rainmaker and be done. That's all I want.
Level of excitement for this match.
Two.
And what's it building towards, by the way? Because we saw all of these matches already. We saw Roppongi Vice versus Taichi and Taka, and we saw Okada versus Suzuki.
I just want to see Okada destroy him with a rainmaker. That's all I want. How excited I am? Right. I kind of feel the same way. Three or four. Watch Takemichi Noku gets the pin on Okada.
Yeah, and positions himself.
He did it again.
All right. We've got yet another six-man tag here.
Wow, okay.
And this, Damon, is for our favorite belts, the Never Openweight six-man title. So we've got Taguchi, Nakanishi, and Tanahashi defending against Bushi, Evil, and Sanada. I'm saying we, and I don't think that this is too far of a stretch, we're going to see a title change here. LIJ regains the titles that they won at Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Okay. That would be the first title change on both shows. Right?
Wait, the first title change on both shows.
So between these two shows, this,
yeah,
that, would
you're right.
That would be the first titles that change hands.
You are correct.
Because there were zero on the first show. And I agree. Let's do it. Title change.
Well, why not?
Back,
I mean,
we're going back to Los Angeles. All right, it's the never six-man belts. But yeah, that would be the first.
All right, next match for the British.
Oh, by the way, a two.
A two, all right. I'm at a five.
Yeah?
Yeah. It'll be fun. Huh? Come on. It's the never six-man belts. It's always fun.
All right, I'll go higher. I'll say four.
Okay. British heavy.
I give it two levels of interest.
Damon. British heavyweight title match. Shibata defending against the challenger, Will Ospreay. I'm at a 10 for this.
I'm at a 76. Yeah.
Absolutely cannot wait. What do you think the chances are of Ospreay becoming a dual Rev Pro champ?
So he would be the heavyweight and the what?
And the cruiserweight champ. He's the current Rev Pro British cruiserweight champion.
I mean, stranger things have happened, but seems odd. But I think it's does he get the win?
Well, see, here's
no.
the thing.
No, I'm saying he doesn't get the win. I'm saying Shibata gets the win.
I think that we all, I shouldn't say we all thought, but there were murmurs of Shibata getting like kind of a little punishment
for his
transgressions.
Nah, I think that's been blown over. Okay. I really do. I mean, I really
I hope so.
I mean, I don't. Truth be told, whatever happens, happens. You know, he's an adult. He's either going to get in trouble for it or not with the company. That's not for me to decide. But I don't think he is. I mean, I don't. I think it's kind of that. It's blown over. It's not a thing anymore. And honestly, losing the Rev Pro belt, that's punishment, right?
It is a prestigious title, Damon.
I'm not saying it's not, Kyle, but I don't know if that's necessarily...
AJ Styles held that title. See, I told you I'd get the reference in.
Oh, there it is. Good job. Ding, 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 ding. No, I think Shibata wins. I think... know what I'd be curious to see? I'd like to see the booking sheets for Rev Pro.
I thought you said the booking chic.
The booking chic. No, the sheets. I want to see if Shibata is scheduled any time to make a return to the London area. That might be telling as well. Because if he's not, then, you know, possibly Will takes that belt. But I don't. I think Shibata wins. I think Shibata gets the win. Again, unfortunately, I'm kind of thinking in the logic of heavyweights and juniors, the traditional New Japan line when it comes to booking. So I'll go Shibata with the win, defending the title. But again, I can't imagine this match being any less than great.
I'm going Ospreay.
I know you are.
I'm going Ospreay.
Going against the logic of New Japan heavies versus juniors, but that's all right. I like your thinking.
All right, next match. Again, a rematch from Sapporo, three-man tag, GBH, KES, and of course Ishii and Yano.
My interest level, Colin, it cannot be registered at this point, right? It is flatlined.
I'm saying KES takes the belts here in Osaka.
I really felt like they had the opportunity to do it. If they were going to do it, why not do it the first time? I don't understand the second time. Fine. No. You know what? I'm not saying they win the belts. They're not winning the belts. I'm going to go GBH. What do you think of that?
Wow. GBH regaining the titles.
Because why the fuck not at this point, right? Right? Why not? Nothing makes sense in that division. Nothing makes sense.
No, you're right.
GBH, your new tag team champions.
Okay, and what has match of the year potential written all over it for the IWGP heavyweight, junior heavyweight title? We have the champion Takahashi defending against Dragon Lee.
What did I say, Shibata and Ospreay? My level was 76?
Yeah, 76.
This is 78.
Wow, 78. That's two more, Damon.
Yeah, two more interest level points. Yeah, I didn't know the scale went that high. I didn't know my body could manage that, but it is. Pants will be down, I guarantee you, for this match. Super excited. I think it's going to be, again, how can this match not be great?
It's impossible.
It really is going to be impossible for this match not to be great. Unless, again, something happens back in the back where they just do not agree upon something and they totally sabotage the fucking match. That's the only possible way that this could happen, because these two guys are too great to not let that happen. Great match, 78 interest level, no title change. We keep the belts there, and away we go.
All right, and finally, the main event for this Osaka show for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, we have the champion Naito defending against former champion Michael Elgin. Now, here's the interesting thing about this match. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure if you're going to remember this, but I'm sure one of our listeners will. I think that Elgin is like 0-3 against Naito.
I did read that somewhere, that he does not have the best success against Naito. I think this is a title change, Colin.
I think so, too.
I really, really feel it in my gut.
It's a must-win for Elgin at this point.
I just look at the way these shows have gone. Like, there hasn't been title changes, right? There hasn't been.
No, I mean, we called it the Trios title.
Okay, there's the one. I mean, do you think the tag title, too?
Could be.
Right. Flip a coin.
Not a definite, but...
Right, right. But I think this I don't know. Is that weird? Do you think it's a weird call?
No, I don't think it's a weird call at all, you know, specifically because of the fact that I just mentioned. I mean, the pressure is on Elgin here to get that win over Naito that he can't seem to...
Can Naito afford to lose the title?
Yeah, sure. Why not? He could win the title back in. I mean, again, he's in like the Nakamura position where he's
really
kind of elevating this belt. Yeah. I mean, I suppose you can have Naito win it back maybe again in Osaka at Dominion in June.
Let me ask you this: is Naito completely out of the heavyweight title picture?
I think that's an interesting question, and it's a question that I've been sort of mulling over in my mind.
Because it seems to me, people are forgetting about him.
But
when it comes to the heavyweight title,
I mean, he's as popular as ever. I mean,
he is.
One could argue he's the most popular guy in the company. You could still argue that point.
But it seems that everybody in their mind's eye has this Okada Omega thing, which leaves Naito out of the picture.
I just think that Naito's place now in this company, he's found a good place where he's this massive star. And I mean, who better to make the IWGP Intercontinental title a main event caliber title that can headline major shows than Tetsuya Naito?
Yes, and he's doing that.
Right.
Is that enough for him? Should he be heavyweight champion?
Well, look, if it's up to me, he's winning G1 this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's an early prediction.
If it's up to me...
Yeah,
I'm saying Naito Omega Wrestle Kingdom 12 rematch from G1 last year for the heavyweight title.
You're going what? Wrestle Kingdom what? What match are you going?
Wrestle Kingdom 12. How about Naito versus Omega?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Well, not bad at all. You don't sound too thrilled.
No. I'm okay with that one.
Sounds like a hot match to me.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Okay, so then how do you get Naito in that mix? Well, I mean, it's a long year. It's February 5th.
Yeah, it's still early into 2017. Thank God, because I haven't made any changes in my life yet.
But I think, I think he's one of those guys that needs to be in. When we talk, again, everybody's kind of fixated on Okada and Omega. Let's not forget about Naito here. Naito could slide right on in.
He's
so again, him dropping this Intercontinental belt opens the door for me, in my mind, for bigger things, bigger gold.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right, but I just think that he's, you know, you have to remember, there was a time where we were thinking the same thing for Shinsuke Nakamura.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, ring the bell again, you know, that he was moving on to bigger and better things as well. And, you know, Tanahashi won the G1 that year, and then Nakamura back in the IC title picture. So
what you're saying is Naito is going to WWE?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay.
God, no.
Okay. All right, well then, yeah. I mean, just again, food for thought, kids, food for thought. But let's not forget about Naito when it comes to the big picture of the heavyweight title and moving forward. Again, would you have a problem with Naito taking a flight over to Los Angeles, Long Beach, and headlining these shows as heavyweight champion?
Absolutely not.
Okay. You have a problem with Okada doing it, though?
I do.
You son of a bitch.
No,
wrap
I don't really.
Wrap up this fucking show.
All right, here we go. We're going to go home here, ladies and gentlemen. Again, that was your Osaka card taking place next Saturday, February 11th on NJPWWorld.com. So we'll be back again next week to talk all about that show. Should be, I mean, you know, we just went through this card. We got some amazing matches to look forward to. NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. All links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole bit. You can listen to each new episode as it is uploaded. And, of course, VoicesOfWrestling.com. We're usually up there every Monday afternoon on their great podcasting network. They've got something for everyone. And, Damon, any final thoughts for today?
No, I think we've covered all of our bases. Happy birthday to me. I expect lots of wonderful tweets and messages from our adoring fans.
Boy, what a narcissist, I'll tell you what.
to help celebrate Damon McDonald's birthday. So thank you very much. I look forward to all those wonderful well wishes.
All righty, so there you have it. Happy birthday, Damon, and we'll be back next weekend to talk about the new beginning in Osaka. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next weekend. Have a good one.